And now it's a great pleasure to introduce our 10-minute speaker. We've got Susan W. from Utah.
I'm Susan, I'm an alcoholic. I don't think anybody's ever talked for me like that. Pretty sure I don't deserve it, but I can say without a doubt it's an honor and a privilege to be here and speaking for 10 minutes. So, thank you, Jill, for asking me to be here. Welcome to all the newcomers. Good to see you. And if you're in here and you're struggling, you're not alone. That's all I have to say on that. My story as a young child, I don't remember ever having alcohol around when I was a kid. There was no alcohol in the house except for if we were sick. If we were sick, my mom would line us up at the refrigerator. I was the oldest of five, and we'd get in line, and we'd all get a shot of whiskey. I had five kids, and they were all sick. I'd probably want to knock them out, too. But other than that, I think the only other time there was alcohol around was once a year. They'd go to a Halloween party, and they would get into what, you know, their usual fight, which would last the usual week. My dad would throw up out the van window all the way home from Hanford or wherever, and we lived in Visalia, so welcome to the Valley people. And they would fight, and then, you know, there was other things that went on in the home, but I can tell you, I lived a really good childhood. Like, we ate pomegranates on the propane tank, we did things like that. We had a really good childhood. I played sports in grade school. My dad and my mom played softball, so they were there with us. I got them to softball with them. But there was a lot of fighting in the home. But I know today they did the best that they could. So I took my first drink. My mom and dad separated and divorced, and my dad, he had a girlfriend after the divorce, but he actually found someone who was still married today, 40 years now. I remember I was drinking on the wedding day. There was a time before that when I was 11. That's when I took my first drink. And I was supposed to not lie. And there you go, my first time. I was 11, and my uncle took me on the side of the hill, and we lied. We told my grandma we were going to go to the arcade, and he took me to the side of this hill. It was about him and his girlfriend and a couple guys, and I drank Michelob, and I got really tipsy. But what I do remember, though, and what I'll never forget is that warmth and comfort that I got from the alcohol. Like, the minute I took that drink and the warm feeling in my shoulders, that feeling I'll never forget. The feeling of care and boredom and worry all melted away until we got home and we had to lie to Grandma. That was another story. I'm awake now. Now I got to tell Grandma we went to the arcade. But I remember hitting my head on the door and he said, "Oh, don't worry, it won't hurt. You'll be fine." And maybe that was my belief about alcohol all along, you know. And I know it took away the worry. I know it made me feel better. And I thought it would take away the pain. And so I chased that for a really long time. Like I said, my dad got remarried. I remember we were having, family. The kids were bonding in the back room with alcohol. The adults were doing their thing. Alcohol became a pretty regular part of my daily routine in high school. I started ditching school, and then we were spending a lot of time drinking and smoking. I did a lot of smoking, too. Been about 7 years now without cigarettes, which has been really good. But that my whole life was just smoking and drinking and whatever I can get my hands on. Right about my junior year in high school is when we started checking on, this girl's not from the school. Anyway, so I dipped out. I beauty school dropped out 3 times after that. My dad thought it was a good idea. She knows how to cut hair. We'll just put her in beauty school. And that didn't work. So, you know, alcohol just pretty much took over. I was a great finisher, but a lot of things never finished anything. And so San Luis Obispo County has intervened many times trying to get me to stop drinking and take care of my responsibilities, pay my fines, and raise my kids. And there was a lot of interventions and attempts at interventions. And, you know, I can't, when I was first introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous and the other sister programs was because they wanted me to check off the boxes and I could, you know, have all my things back. And that lasted 7 years. I did really good. I'm a star student. I don't learn how to be. I think people are watching. The last time in 2011, I had a relapse and was hit pretty hard. And San Luis Obispo County didn't want to give me everything back up and out. They were done. And so pretty much stayed in self-pity, you know, the victim, feeling really good at that too. And so I stayed out trying to drink that problem away for a while my kids were healing and, you know, being protected. And so anyway, about a year, I remember one day, because I had experience in the prayer, that serenity prayer we talked about. And I remember one day, it was right before the house burned down, and it was right after the driver's license expired. All the kids were now living out of the home. And I walked through the hallway, and I was like, you can, and I'll let you. And it just came out of my mouth like I'd never heard that prayer. 7 years of going to meetings, and I don't think I ever really said that prayer and meant it. And for some reason, and I believe it was the divine intervention of a higher power that I called God, and that one, and it wasn't like the brain and bones, which had been all of a sudden come back and call me mom. It wasn't like that, but it was truly a beginning, and I believe that's where it started. Those things that I was holding on to, you know, I was just finally able to let go. And about a year later, the alcohol stopped working like it does, and I went into a sober living, which is not a requirement for AA. AA is for fun and for free. But I needed that help. I needed that structure. And there was a local sober living. And a friend of mine kept telling me, I'd fall asleep and she'd be like, did you go to that meeting? Oh, yeah. I'll be there. You know, and so I kept showing up at this place. And finally they said, okay, we'll take you in. But, you know, I finally got this call and they said, you'd be here by 5 o'clock. Or you can't come in. And here they're going to give me a God bed, right? For free, for fun and for free. And I still, 4:59, I rode in on my bike, you know, and my fuzzy shorts. And I didn't mention those because that was a vision for you. Right? My fuzzy shorts and my bike. So I ran into the gate, I made it in. I'll just want to shout out. And it took me 3 meetings and a day, and I got a sponsor right away. My first attempt at letting God do for me what I can't do for myself. I had no idea how to pick a sponsor. I just said, God, the first woman that comes down and she's here tonight, and I thank you so much. I wouldn't be here without you, for sure. So shout out to you from the bottom of my heart. A lot of things my sponsor did for me. One time, I got to say, I thought sponsors were just supposed to walk you through the steps, which she did. And but she also gave me tools on how to live. Like, when you see your kids, less is more, two ears and one mouth, or, you know, things like that. And she really helped me to get back into their lives and to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, like to learn how to live sober. And I'll tell you another thing I wanted to touch on tonight. I didn't bring a little bullet card thing, but there was the fuzzy shorts was one. The other thing I wanted to mention was Oh, shit, I really forgot. Okay, this is it. I've just heard it again. So this sober living would let me go out. If I went out on Saturday morning to the 7 a.m. meeting in the Village Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, I could stay out like the whole day for that, my pass, my weekend pass. If I didn't go to that 7 a.m. meeting, I had to wait till noon, right? So I would pack up my bicycle, everything was bungee to the back. My cozy shorts. Actually, they wouldn't let me wear my cozy shorts in the house. But by then I was learning how to dress like a lady. But anyway, I showed up to this meeting, and I just failed all day. And I'll tell you, the moment I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous, it wasn't the things that I was hearing, because the things that I was hearing was really hard to hear. I was hearing a lot of truth about myself. And I had a lot of shame and guilt. I didn't know how to deal with that stuff. But I knew what you guys were telling me was the truth. And I knew there was a safe place to be. And on that Saturday meeting, if you go to that village group, and you wait till the meeting ends on a Saturday, and you close your eyes, you'll hear chatter and laughter, and the camaraderie, and the brotherhood, and the sisterhood, and the love. And none of that was in the house when I grew up. There was none of that going on. And I'll tell you, I was like, whew, I can breathe. And thank you, Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you, Village Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm so grateful. I know I'm probably getting close to 10 minutes, so I just want to say this. Find a home group. If you don't know how to pick a sponsor, pray. God will bring the right one. And we have a fabulous speaker here from Fresno, so I'm done.
And we're now supposed to give her another applause. Thank you so much. Good night.